Yeah, so I'm usually just designing, building obstacles, obstacle courses, you know, creating new, interesting things for the gym and for classes. I really like designing and running obstacle courses. So, you know, that's really exciting. Or, you know, if I get the chance to train, I'll do that as well.
So what's like, what workouts do you use to prepare yourself for like competitions?
I don't really have much in terms of like workouts. I do just kind of a lot of parkour and play movement. So I'll find a challenge very similar to how I started that looks interesting. I'll try and do it. I'll get it. And then I'll make it more complicated, more difficult until I can't get it. And then that's something, you know, I could come back to later. I do enjoy conditioning. I find that a fun challenge to kind of see how hard I can push things or how long or how much weight, stuff like that. And I really just kind of go with what I'm feeling or what I feel I'm lacking coming up to, you know, a competition. But I try not to put too much pressure on it and just focus on, you know, making sure I'm mentally prepared to attack new obstacles and new challenges, and then as physically adaptable as I can be and well-rounded.
If there were, like, if Ninja wasn't a thing right now, what would you be doing?
I actually was going to be a tattoo artist for a while. I left that when I started taking the coaching position over at Pinnacle, and that took off, and I chose Ninja and coaching over tattooing. If Ninja wasn't a thing, I would try and be a parkour coach. And if Ninja didn't exist, I think parkour would get a lot more awareness to it, and that would grow more. But that seems to be kind of in the shadow right now of Ninja Warrior. Even though everyone uses parkour in Ninja Warrior, parkour specifically isn't as well known. And if that wasn't a thing, you know, I'd go back to tattooing, which is stressful, but, you know, I get to be creative and I get to, you know, do something for someone that's a positive thing and going to last them a really long time. And then if all that doesn't work, probably massage therapist, you know, something to help people, you know, with physical, you know, ailments. I definitely don't trust myself to be a doctor, but I think I could learn enough with muscle work and stuff like that.
So all the tattoos that you have, did you do them or did someone else do them?
No, I've only done, I would say one, maybe two on myself. Most of them, you kind of need two hands to work with. So it's kind of hard to, you know, move your body in the right position to do it. So most of them have been done by a woman named Megan Patrick over at 12 Ounce Studios in New Jersey. But then as I've traveled, I've tried to get a couple more as well.
What is there like one thing that you wish you had known before you started Ninja?
But I wish I had known where Ninja was going when I started, because knowing how, you know, the level that athletes have gotten, you know, I feel like I would have pushed towards that level. You know, looking back now, if I had, you know, trained how the kids were training, you know, earlier, I would be, you know, at the level the teens are now, which is, you know, easily a grand champion back in, you know, seasons 1 through 6. You know, they're just beast right now. But otherwise, I think the one thing I wish I would have known going into it is that that I would get picked next year. It's always so nerve-wracking after a year to know, are you going to, you know, get selected to come back again? And you usually wait a year of stress, hoping that you get called, but never really knowing.
So how does that process work for them calling you back?
Yeah, so each year, basically, unless you're grand champion, you're going to have to resubmit it's huge. I may be exaggerating, but it feels like a 30-page online written application. And then you have a video application you put in as well, which is a submission video. I think it's about 3 minutes long now. They used to be really long, and they keep shortening it because they have so many people submitting. But you put those in usually by the end of December, early January, and then you wait until about April sometime for you to get a call back to know if you're getting selected or not. And then you can have anywhere from 2 weeks notice up to, you know, 2 months of, you know, you're going to compete this year, hop on a plane and let's rock and roll.
So do you have to resubmit that video year and year?
Yeah, you have to resubmit a different video every year.
What about that paperwork?
Yep. So the past couple of years, they actually have it saved so you can just change things that have changed throughout the years. But it's always good to go in and update it because if they tell your story on Ninja, they don't want to tell the same story year after year. Yeah. You know, they want to keep things fresh. So anything new that's happening in your life, it's always good to fill them in and keep them up to date.
Yeah, like I think the video for NW Juniors where I went wrong, my paperwork was fine, but what are they looking for in that video?
So the video, it's usually the video they're going to decide after that if they're going to look at the paperwork. So the video is really important to show that you're, you know, good at talking on camera, that you're energetic, that you're personable, that there's something unique about you that sets you apart from other people and shows that you're interesting to watch on TV. You know, you could have an amazing athlete that's just really kind of, you know, quiet and, you know, not very chatty and kind of mumbles when they talk and don't look, you know, at the person they're talking to or don't look into the camera lens. All those things that really kind of put you off when you look at someone on camera, those are the things you want to avoid. So they're looking at someone that's really going to be entertaining, that's going to be different from everyone else, and that people are going to want to watch.
Yeah. So what are some of the best resources that have helped you?
Resources helped me in terms of what in particular?
Like Ninja or like get started in it?
Oh, in terms of, you know, kind of training and competing?
Yeah.
I would say early on, it was really just kind of going to a ninja gym, getting to know the, you know, community out there and training with them. So the more you train with other people, the more variety that's going to come into your life and the more they're going to push you to do something that you may not have thought of or that, you know, you don't know how to do. And you'll kind of help build out each other's weaknesses, which is always great. And then, of course, going to competitions is always a great way to test yourself on that one and done, as well as, you know, someone will create something completely different that you have never touched their obstacles, completely different set of equipment, completely different type of movements. Those are always great, especially when the pressure's on for you to have to compete. And also, you got to wait a lot with Ninja Warrior. So going to local competitions is good to practice your patience.
What's, like, would you say the hardest obstacle that Ninja Warrior brought on?
So in America, the hardest obstacle?
Yeah.
I don't know. The hardest obstacle, I think, is usually not the most physically demanding, but it's the most technical. And I would say probably the hardest one they had so far was the on guard. It was a beginning of stage 3 obstacle before where it was a extending pipe that was kind of like the flying bar, but it was on a platform that was slick so it would slide. And then you have to jump into another platform. However, the bar was too long to fit through the gateway. There was panels that prevented you from doing it. So you actually had to bring the pipe together in the air and then extend it back out. So it's a very technical movement there, very small room for error. And because the rod was telescoping, it freely rotated both directions. And usually when that happens, you can switch grip. But because you're grabbing each end and each end moves independently, it didn't matter how you grabbed it, it was always going to roll on you. So that one, I think, had been the most demanding. We saw it, I think, once or twice, and then it was gone. So maybe they'll bring it back as we get stronger.
So I know back, like, when I first started watching Ninja, it was when they had, like, that log you would have to grab onto, and it would, like, just slide down that track, and then they had the actual, like, quintuple steps, and like then they had this like rolling thing where you would like put your feet in on like two sides and you hold on, and then it would like roll you upside down a couple times.
Yep.
Why did they get rid of those?
I don't know, but I'm thrilled they did. So they had like the rolling log where you hold on to it and it spins you around really fast.
Yeah.
That one was too dangerous. If you saw the last season, they had a lot of people's arms would release, but their legs were locked on. Then they swing around and, you know, have big impacts into the mat. So too risky of concussions, I think. Also, the log drop where you held on the log, went down the track and just kind of went boom, boom. Yeah. Those were pretty difficult, depending on how big they made the holds, but weren't all that visually impressive. And that's really important with ninja obstacles, is that it's not just, you know, difficult, but there's some sort of visible interest to it. And then you also had the rolling escargot, which I find is another very difficult obstacle. It's kind of like that cartwheel machine. You put your arms, legs, and you just kind of press and spin.
Yeah.
That one, I think it's just too slow moving because it doesn't go anything super fast. And when you get to the end, it's not too difficult, but it's really kind of size dependent. So if you're small, it really fits you in there. But if you're tall, it's really difficult to keep your hips in. So maybe it was too inconsistent for, your height to give you too much of a disadvantage.
So what happened with the quintuple steps?
Those got too easy. They started off difficult, being like about 6 feet apart. And then they got easier as they brought them closer together. Then they raised them so that they'd be, you know, higher, which has made them more difficult. But ultimately, I think they were too slow of an obstacle. And when you're filming, it takes a long time to get people through obstacles. And if someone's taking, you know, 2-3 minutes on the first obstacle, that's way too long. So having the striding steps is great. It's a straight line. They make it or they don't. They can take a little bit of time on that rope, but and same thing with the Dorito Dash they had. You kind of want obstacles that are quick, that aren't going to take too long, that someone can't really get a good rest on and recover. You want them to kind of keep moving, keep challenging them. So I think they just got too slow and too easy.
Yeah. So one thing I did notice watching the show, what was it, Tuesday?
Uh-huh.
Was it Monday? Yeah.
Yeah, they all aired Monday, but however you watched it.
Yeah, it was Monday. One thing I noticed is the like run up to the like warped walls. It's like really short now. Has it changed or was it just me?
It shortened a little bit as the seasons went on. I don't think it's much shorter than it had been in previous seasons. It's no more than, you know, 8 to 12 feet, something like that. I think average you might have about 10-foot run up from the landing platform to the start of the curve of the wall.
Cause I know it for sure looked a little shorter from at least from like when like let's say like Casey Canzaro was on.
Oh yeah, absolutely. Yeah.
Yeah, cause that's why I said all these people going for the mega wall. I'm like, the walls keep getting bigger, but the run ups keep getting shorter.
Oh yeah, got to challenge them somehow.
But yeah, well, what's the one kid that was on this past one and like the world's best or whatever?
I don't know who's world's best. I do know Kaden did it, and he's, you know, very, very strong ninja. Young kid. He didn't get the mega wall. He got the full course clear, though. They call him a Super K.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I think that's who it is. Yeah.
Yep, long hair man from Colorado.
Yeah. So, where do you see yourself in 5 years?
My goal is to stay competitive in, you know, Ninja Warrior as long as I can and continue to, you know, push the athletes and, you know, the course designers to keep the challenges. But my goal would also be to become, you know, more prevalent within the obstacle design and course design community, you know, for leagues, for competitions, help build out spotting programs for coaches and really kind of unify the community under a certain set of standards for coaching Ninja Warrior, for, you know, spotting students on obstacles. A lot of after we first started out were people you know, just building, you know, ninja gyms because they had money and saw the name and thought they could make money on it, but not really having much information on it. But now that it's become, you know, a higher level, you really kind of need that infrastructure of knowing what to expect, how to design and set up obstacles, how to adapt them safely for creative, you know, challenges for different levels, how to spot students on it, how to create a course to make sure things run smoothly. There's a bunch of things that we've kind of found through the years that, you know, I hope to use my experience and become more prevalent and, you know, create a good unifying standard across the community that we can utilize to, you know, get better and more organized and hold ourselves to a higher standard.
Do you ever, by chance, like, come to Michigan at all?
Yeah, I used to for the Rockford events when they were going down.
That's what Kevin Bowles was telling me a long time ago, that he would come up for that.
Yeah.
Because this was when he was, like, just building his, like, dojo gym or whatever it's called.
Yep, the dojo trampoline parks, I believe.
Yeah, because I had told him to come and meet me at Defy one time. So, I know you talked about, like, Jackie Chan at the very beginning of this, but...
Yeah, yeah.
Was he, like, an inspiration, or, like, did you have a couple inspirations? Like, who inspired you?
Definitely Jackie Chan growing up. I was just amazed at, you know, his ability to, you know, overcome his environment and, you know, how creative he could move through space. And so that really, you know, inspired me to train and, you know, see what my body was capable of doing. But he was definitely my main inspiration. There might have been others kind of going through, but no one that actually kind of stood out or, you know, held as long as Jackie does.
So, have you ever, like, done any, like, stunting for movies, like a stunt person? Or?
No, I never got into stunt work. I know a couple of ninja buddies of mine that are in it, and I don't think I have enough knowledge of, you know, all the background stuff that I would take to get into it. You know, I could do a move or two. You know, I've done some stuff for, you know, just promotional stuff at or commercials or events of stuff that I'm at, but nothing where, you know, I would need to pad up or have to deal with, you know, a car hit or, you know, a stair fall or anything on those lines. You know, you have to worry about that sort of thing.
So what made you go with, like, Captain NBC?
Well, I was inspired by Captain Planet growing up, and I was dressed like him for Halloween, and I saw a commercial for A&W2, and that was the first I heard of it coming to the States, so I sent him a picture of me in my Halloween costume, because they were looking for costume competitors as a open call commercial, and they loved it, but the Planet is a copywritten logo, so I asked them if I could use their logo, and they're like, yeah, we love that idea, so I became Captain G4. Because I was on the G4 network to begin with. And then when NBC took over, I switched it to NBC.
And what made you go with the green hair?
It's part of Captain Planet's look. He's a blue superhero guy with red underwear and bright green flat top mullet. And so I have long hair, so I got a nice bright green. And it just kind of kept since green's my my second favorite color. Purple's my favorite, so with green hair, I can wear as much purple as I like.
So, when you're filming Ninja, does it ever, like, is it, like, well-organized, or is it, like, is it ever, like, confusing, or, like what you do and, like, where to go?
No, everything's super laid out for you. You do a rules walkthrough day of all the obstacles. You see one of the ATS stunt crew do a demo, or one of the testers will do a demo for you after they explain all the rules. Then you can ask any questions you want about that obstacle. Then they move on to the next one, and then, you know your run order, and they, you know, keep you ready to go and tell you, you know, you're up in three, you know, you're up now, you know, be ready to go and run through the course. So everything's pretty organized. The only way you wouldn't know is if you're just, you know, not paying attention or, you know, not doing what you should be doing.
So when the testers ever, like, when they go and test the obstacles and show you, like, what to do, do they ever fall?
Yeah. Yeah, they do their best to do it on the first try, but, you know, some of the obstacles are difficult or, you know, sometimes they just mess up. So it happens, and usually you'll get a second tester do it, unless it's, you know, something that you've already seen before or, you know, they fell at the end of the obstacle and, you know, you kind of get the idea of it.
Yeah, you understand what to do by then.
Yep, exactly.
Do you feel any pressure when you're going?
A little bit, just because, you know, I want to make it to the next round. I want to keep playing. But yeah. Otherwise, I try and turn all of my anxiety into excitement and just get kind of really excited to compete.
So, out of all the ninjas that you've, like, met through, like, doing this on the show, has anyone, like, on particular, like, stuck out to you, like, as a, like, really good friend? And
oh, yeah. My wedding was, I would say, 80% ninjas and 20% family. Two or three of my best, my groomsmen were ninjas. My, the person who married us, was a ninja. My, flower girl was a ninja. So they're all, you know, my best friends and, you know, the closest
don't
people.
Don't you need a license to, like, marry someone?
Yeah, you can get a license online through a ministry. But I would say my two closest ninja friends are Sean Darling Hammond and Michelle Warnke.
Michelle Warnke.
Yeah.
So
why did you stop your training? What kind of took your interest that you know, brought you into or away from the A&W Junior?
Well, all right. So when I had submitted there, that was going to be last year that, like, the age was going to be allowed on there.
Uh-huh.
And that was before Ninja brought it down to 15. I was still when I was, like, 18 or something. So I still had a while to go. So I said, well, I mean, I've got a while to go. So I really – I've always been in the flip, so I really started just focusing on flips and, like
– cool.
Yeah.
Yeah, and I could see the racing aspect being, you know, of different interest than the, you know, you versus the course.
And that was another thing that I really didn't really want to do. I didn't like the racing. Like, I know, like, yeah, I'm not going to be the fastest one out there. That's why, like, I wish it was just, like, yeah, me versus the course and just trying to get to the end knowing that I'm going through it.
Yeah, yeah, that's always been my, well, you know, one ninja, one course, and, you know, hopefully you make it through and everyone cheers you on the whole way.
Yeah. I had a friend that got, well, it was technically my sister's friend that was actually on the junior show.
Oh, nice.
So, do you, like, go to the, like, do you go to, like, not a ninja gym, like, do you work out at, like, a gym, like, Planet Fitness or
no? I mean, I have my own gym that I run, the Ultimate Ninjas, so most of my workout will be there, and any equipment we don't have I usually have at home. You know, if I want to, you know, spend money to work out, I'd rather kind of, you know, make it and then have something I can use all the time. But if you don't have access to it or, you know, the place to go, I've sometimes done, like, a general fitness gym while traveling.
During, like, last year when COVID, like, was at its peak.
Yeah.
Like, how did that affect, like, your gym and, like, Ninja? How did that?
Well, most gyms closed down for at least a little while, which was, you know, a huge bummer. But then we were able to reopen fairly quickly and kind of get things up and running with, you know, masks, and then, of course, social distancing and contact tracing and temperature checks and all that sort of stuff. But outside of that, the big thing with Ninja is you weren't allowed any friends or family there. They couldn't have any crowds there. It was all isolated, and that was really disappointing that we couldn't have people there.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, that's what I found out that I love the most is, you know, having, you know, that community, that crowd of people and all that, you know, awesome stuff.
And also the traveling aspect of it, like them going to different cities each week. Like,
yeah, I mean, we weren't allowed to travel at that point.
Yeah. And that's why my cousin, he's a super big fan of Ninja and stuff. He wasn't a fan of, like, being at the same place and, like, not going to Vegas for the finals. And
yeah. Well, we got back to Vegas this year, which was nice, but
yep.
Definitely.
Have you guys already filmed that?
Yep, everything filmed, I think, April through May.
That's what I wanted to know, because I was like, I've always wondered about that. Like, they say it's live, but I'm like, I'm pretty sure it's not live.
Yeah, yeah, no, everything is filmed ahead of time and then edited down. Because otherwise, yeah. I mean, we're there for 12 hours filming, you know, 60 people, and, you know, no one's going to stay out and watch that long.
Yeah.
There's a lot of downtime between runners.
So, if I were to, like, to go be, like, a audience member at, like, at a show, does it cost money to get into?
Nope, totally free. There's a website called On Camera Audiences you can go to that usually update when Ninja's going to start filming which city it's going to be in. I don't know what the setup is with COVID because they haven't had any friends and family for the past, you know, two seasons. So I assume they'd start back up, but I don't know when that is or, you know, if it's going to be the same.
What made you, like, start, like, running a gym?
Just because I enjoyed training there and then having the ability to build stuff and then train other people. It's just, you know, a great way to stay in the community.
So what do you do on a, besides the gym, do you do anything on, like, on the side to, like, make a living or?
Nope, just the gym. And then I will, you know, I have some, you know, shirts that I sell. And then, of course, doing a lot of, you know, traveling workshops, events. I just came back from being the starting line at a OCR event and then doing, you know, other just kind of hype gigs, but all are Ninja related in some way.
What are some of your, like, other, like, hobbies other than Ninja?
I like to do really kind of anything decorative or creative artistically. So I do a lot of, you know, design, building, woodworking. I used to do a lot of painting and drawing, but haven't in a while.
I'd love to say, I feel like since, like, you said, you mentioned, like, you like doing tattoos, I feel like I'd be like a drawer or a painter.
Yeah, that just takes a little bit more downtime. And so I'm a little bit more selective with how that has to come out.
So I feel like you, like, manage your time, like, very wisely.
Yeah, I try and keep as organized as I can, because I'll easily get stuff lost in the shuffle and then have to come back and find it.
Yeah. Well, I mean, it's been nice talking with you and.
Yeah.
Yeah. So. Maybe once I get, like, another Ninja on here, maybe get you on here and, like, because I can bring in, like, as many people as I want, so maybe we can get, like, more than one person.
Yeah, that'd be cool.
Yeah. All right, well, it's been nice talking with you.
Yeah, absolutely. You have a great day, and look forward to when this all comes out.
Welcome to the BS Show, where we will talk about things from anything to everything. We are here with a special guest, Jamie Ron, aka Captain NBC from American Ninja Warrior. So, if you don't mind, can you go and tell us about who you are?
Yeah, thanks, man. So, I am, like you said, Captain NBC from the show American Ninja Warrior. I've been competing since season 2 for 11 seasons. Did a whole bunch of stuff like the skills competition, the All-Stars competitions, went to compete in Japan and Germany and Vietnam doing Ninja Warrior all over the world, traveling the country, teaching workshops in parkour and Ninja Warrior, and been doing it for a little over a decade and been loving it, doing even some OCR races recently.
So for someone that doesn't know how to get into Ninja, how did you like get into it?
So I got into Ninja really kind of by seeing it on TV. I'd always liked to just kind of play around on obstacles, and I watched some TV shows that had some obstacle courses in it, and eventually got into Ninja Warrior and saw Sasuke on American TV, and that was just really inspiring to see, you know, these what I thought back then to be these impossible obstacles that these guys were doing, and they only had one chance at it once a year, and it was, you know, crazy to see them do it. And always a big fan of Jackie Chan, I just went out to playgrounds and, you know, parks and, you know, found a challenge and gave it a go. And when I figured out how to do it and became easy, I tried to make it more difficult and kept building it from there. So you don't have to go do a warp wall or a salmon ladder or, you know, anything particular. What was important for me when getting started was find something that's fun and challenging my body in a new way that I hadn't done before. And just try it until you get good at it. And then when you do, make it more difficult and more complicated. And that's really kind of how you get going. It's the biggest hurdle is just getting that awareness of your body movement. And everything else, all the technique will come as you get stronger.
So how old were you when you first, like, started Ninja, like, saw it?
That's tough. The Ninja Warrior show, I saw maybe early, I would say late teens, maybe around like 18 or so. I might have seen it for the first time. But I feel like just obstacle course stuff in general before it was like the Ninja Warrior specific, I've always been interested in since, I don't know, the age of 10 or 8.
Yeah, that's about when I like first started watching Ninja Warrior, maybe even before that. But yeah, I've always been a fan of it. I have a place where I'm going to buy the wood, but I'm actually going to build my own salmon ladder.
Excellent.
So, yeah, and so do you have any like obstacles in your backyard or?
I used to. The first obstacle I ever built was a set of quad steps and a salmon ladder. And then I put a cliffhanger and then another salmon ladder and a rock wall and then some warp walls. And that was all in my little yard area in New Jersey. And then sold that house and moved and then built some more and built some gyms and kept going. Now I'm in Missouri. I built a bouldering cave, so a rock wall area. And I have a barn now where I can put all my stuff, but lumber is really expensive, so I've just been scouring Craigslist and Facebook Marketplace for, you know, leftover lumber from construction stuff and getting my supplies together so that when the price of plywood goes down, I can get them and start building again. But I work at Ultimate Ninjas, so I've got plenty of obstacles there, but, you know, when you want to try new things and build some weird stuff, it's always better to kind of do it out at home and do it yourself rather than, you know, at the place you work.
Yeah. Yeah, lumber's really expensive right now. But
you started
your own gym, correct?
Kind of. So when I was first starting out after my first season of Ninja Warrior, I found a place called Pinnacle Parkour. And I started taking parkour classes there. And before I knew about Pinnacle, I just went to my buddy Crystal Chesky's yard, and we did some training at his course, and that kind of inspired me to go out and train more and find these, you know, gyms and stuff that existed. And when I started training at Pinnacle Parkour, we started building ninja obstacles and making a ninja program that went from a summer camp to a its own couple of classes. And then I became co-owner in Pinnacle, and we moved to a Cherry Hill location, so I didn't actually create it. But I hopped in when we started, you know, creating that Ninja Warrior program and building the facility.
So have you, this was a question I got from a couple friends that they
Sure.
wanted me to ask you. They want to know, like, have you ever gotten hurt doing what you do?
Yeah, usually you get hurt at the part that you shouldn't get hurt on. My worst injury was, I don't know, a couple of months into my parkour training within the first year of actually training ninja and parkour. I landed on a mat and then I stood and turned just to get up from the mat, and I twisted my ankle. I broke it. I got a high ankle sprain. Did everything you could to that leg just by standing and turning at the same time. So I've never gotten anything crazy bad from actually training. The show's a little different. You're kind of put in this one and done situation where you sometimes you kind of have to throw yourself. But I've always kind of kept the mindset that if I can't do it safely, or know I'm going to land in a good way, I won't commit to it. And the only injury I've gotten from Ninja Warrior specifically is a concussion during Team Ninja, where you're racing head to head. So you're going really fast, and the course is actually wet because in that Ninja vs. Ninja, the Team Ninja, you can scrape the water and you're good to go as long as you're not fully into it. So I end up slipping on one of the platforms and hitting my head on the next platform going up. So that was probably my worst injury from competing, was a concussion just from trying to speed through a wet course. And then the ankle was early on in training before I understood that mats can be more dangerous than the ground sometimes.
So, I used to watch Team Ninja. Is that still a show? Like, I haven't watched
No,
the
we had a
racing.
Team Ninja for those 2 seasons, and then it became Ninja versus Ninja for 1 season. And it looked really good. They put a lot of money in it and looked great. But after that, A&W Junior came up and took off, and it was that same format. So I think A&W Junior kind of took that, filled that void with the head-to-head ninja racing. And then the adult ninjas kind of kept them to the show, because we also have, the All-Star specials, the skills specials, the USA versus the world specials. And now they started adding, women's championships as well. So I think it was just a little too much of having the same people in all these different things, and really kind of let the kids shine in that team racing.
Yeah, 'cause back when like Team Ninja was a thing, I was that was not many people know this, but me and Kevin Ball, me and him, we actually we've been talking since like 5 years ago.
Oh, nice.
And so we're hoping I want to get him on this podcast, but
Yeah, Kevin's a
struggle.
great guy.
Yeah, I haven't talked to him in a very long time though.
Yeah, he's a busy guy for sure.
Yeah. So if you have you ever failed, and like if you have, what have you learned from it?
Oh yeah, fail every time. There hasn't been a year I've competed that I haven't failed. It's kind of part of the course of Ninja Warrior. You're always expecting to do well, and then you deal with the failure when you get it. But usually I learn, what did I do wrong that caused me to fail? And just because I learned it doesn't mean that I've been able to correct it or fix it. Sometimes you're like, all right, I needed to, do this or be less, fearful, or make this type of move. And just knowing it doesn't always make it apply to your body. But over the years of failing, the thing I learned the most is to enjoy the process, and not get bogged down on, the win or lose. At the end of the day, especially if you ever get to compete on Ninja Warrior, it's this multi-million-dollar obstacle course that was built for specifically you and, 500 other people to run and play on. So just to be, really excited and grateful for those opportunities, and to not get, pissed off or frustrated if you fail, because, it can happen, and that's kind of what makes it so exciting. It's disappointing, and everyone's going to have those, down moments. But what I learned most is just, stay in the moment and really kind of focus on, the experience and not the failure.
I had actually submitted for A&W Junior like
Oh,
2 years
nice.
ago.
Okay.
Yeah, that didn't go too well.
How old are you now?
Me, I'm now 16.
Okay, so now you can go to the show regular.
Yeah, well, well, I haven't been training like everyone else has, so
Yeah.
might be a moment.
Yeah. yeah, if you can get to that level of professional athlete, you know, it's few and far between, and maybe the show will eventually get there. And, you know, things like the National Ninja League and other, you know, leagues trying to make it a sport, that can eventually get there as well. But right now, no, most people do it through coaching or other means that are connected to ninja warrior, but not actually through competing.
So when you're not filming ninja, what's your daily routine?
When I'm not filming, I usually would be training or coaching or, you know, back end stuff with the gym. I haven't been training a whole lot, which is a bummer just because so busy